now would be a great time for you to get your outlines out. Hopefully you're handed one of those on the way in. Love for you to have that so you can take down notes. You'll need them tonight as we're heading into something new. That way you can go back over it this week, look at some of those scriptures, maybe look them up, maybe share it with a friend. I don't know about you, but I like to get to the bottom of things. I like everything to make sense. For instance, it has always bothered me not knowing whether or not this is real. It bothers me to this day. The Bermuda Triangle mystery troubles me. The Amelia Earhart mystery bothers me. Even not knowing how Avengers Infinity War is going to end next year vexes me. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm more than satisfied, and I can accept an answer of, well, you know what, that right there, we can't understand that. Or that answer can't be known. I can go for that. But if there is something that we can and should understand and know, then I want to understand and know it. That is part of what has fueled me for this upcoming Bible study that we're embarking on. We have just finished looking at a person's journey to faith in Jesus Christ. And now, with the help of Jimmy from last week, I want to look at what Jesus has said to us faith travelers. And I especially want to put our crosshairs on trying to solve some of Jesus's most puzzling phrases and perplexing parables. If what Jesus is saying is something that I should understand, then I want to understand it, and I don't want to just move past it as if I do get it when I really don't get it. I mean sayings like this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus said, "You must be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Perfect. Matthew 5, verse 29. "If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out." Oof. But John chapter 5, verse 17. "My Father is always working, and I too am working." What are you talking about, Jesus? And Matthew 5, verse 39. "Do not resist the evil one, but turn the other cheek." And more of these perplexing statements of Jesus. Gang, if these puzzles and perplexers and parables, if they can be understood, then I feel it's our duty to understand them. Jesus said that the church, us, we should be a lighthouse to those who need illumination, those who need warning. Simply, if God's truth can be known, then I believe we should be the ones who know it, we should be the ones who understand it, and we should be the ones living it out. So in this series that we're going to tackle, expect to study God's word very diligently and to trust God's Spirit to enlighten us. Someone told me recently that they brought a friend to church, and several times they had brought them. And the person who they brought told them, "When I go to your church, and when I listen, I understand the Bible. And that hasn't happened to me before." Well, man, that made me feel like $1 million. Because that is what God wants this church to offer. So, let's begin our mystery solving. Here we go. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 17. In this chapter, Jesus has his disciples, they are sent out, and they are in different locations, and they are doing God's work. They're doing what God called them to do. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, let's look at this first, states this. It says, "Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness." And the disciples were doing this, gang. But as they were doing it, then the disciples come across a troublesome situation. They can't cast a demon out of a boy. And they have to bring the boy to Jesus so that Jesus will exorcise the demon. Verse 18 tells us this. Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. Now afterwards, the disciples asked Jesus privately, "Why couldn't we cast out that demon?" "Ha, you don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." Did you catch that? If a person has the faith of a mustard seed, a grain of sand, if the person has that much faith, they can move mountains. And this is not the only time Jesus says this. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. The apostles said to Jesus, "Show us how to increase our faith." And Jesus, instead of giving the answer to that, says this to them. "If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'May you be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Friends, this is a perplexer to me. It's a mystery. Jesus says, if I have just the tiniest bit of faith, actually as small as there possibly can be, if I have that, I should be able to move mountains and I should be able to uproot trees and send them into the sea. Am I reading this wrong, Jim? Is this what this says? That's what it says, right? I'm puzzled. I'm puzzled because I'm a man of faith. I'm puzzled because I have placed my faith and I placed my children in the lives, placed their lives in Jesus' hands. I'm puzzled because I even tell the world about my faith in Jesus. But I haven't seen a single mountain pick itself up and move. And I could try until I'm blue in the face to talk to that tree out front and tell it to jump in the river, and I guarantee you, it ain't gonna move. So what in the world is Jesus talking about here? Is he making false promises? Is he exaggerating? Or, when you measure my faith, are you saying it doesn't even add up to a grain of sand? A mustard seed? I don't even have that much? Well, gang, take heart. By the time we are done solving this puzzle tonight, you will see mountains move. Here we go. The problem here in the understanding is that we are getting several components of Jesus' promise here. We're getting several pieces wrong. This is like trying to troubleshoot a problem on a car when there's multiple things wrong and it drives you crazy because you fix one, it didn't fix nothing. This is like fixing a recipe where you have more than one ingredient that isn't correct. When we get the front end of this promise correct, we tend to get the back end wrong. And when we get the back end right, we tend to get the front end of it wrong. So I want you to hold your verdict on this until you've been through this whole study with us here tonight. I want you to listen to all 4 points because there is more than one misfire that is going on that causes this thing to be a mystery. We can solve this puzzle. Now, it's easy to read Jesus' evaluation of the disciples' inability to cast out a demon and arrive at the conclusion that they lacked something. They must have been incomplete, or they must have been inadequate. After all, they didn't have enough faith. They weren't, that's what we heard. But conversely, Jesus immediately tells them they only need the tiniest bit of faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed. The disciples asked, "Show us how to increase our faith." And Jesus reiterates, "If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Theologian Thomas Schreiner explains it like this. He says, we're prone to think if we just had more faith, then God could do amazing things through me. But Jesus tells us something quite astonishing. The issue isn't whether we are full of faith, but whether we're having any faith at all. Because as Jesus said, if we even had the smallest amount of faith, a mustard seed size, God works on our behalf. Gang, if we truly trusted Christ as our Savior, that's key there. If we've truly trusted Christ as our Savior, if you become into a born-again relationship with Jesus, and we have done that. Now, if we've done this, we did that through what? Our faith. That means we have faith. But are we, and when we come to Christ, we're exercising that faith. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, if we're connected to Jesus, we are complete in him. It says, so you are also complete through your union with Christ. That means we have faith. Yes, our faith may be in its infant stages, but it's there, like a seed containing all it needs to be a tree. And yes, we surely need to grow in our fruits of the Spirit, our attributes of God, and we also need to grow our faith. But notice, Jesus doesn't say to them, wait till your faith is grown. He doesn't say to them, wait till you have mature faith, or wait until you have faith like you used to trust me for salvation. Jesus says you only need the tiniest bit of faith, mustard seed faith, to move mountains. See, gang, the first key to unlocking the moving mountains mystery, the first thing is to realize this. You have what you need. It's in you. If you have trusted Jesus for salvation, then you have mustard seed faith. But Pastor Drew, that leads us to another problem. I'm taking faith, but nothing's happening. Okay, we know Jesus tells the disciples that they're missing a piece, that the missing piece is faith. He's telling them that. The missing piece is you just need a mustard seed side of faith. Now, we also know that we have faith. After all, the disciples, they left everything and they're following Jesus. And we know that if faith is present at all, it can accomplish wonders. Jesus says that the little mustard seed produces a huge tree. Therefore, the question, or perhaps the answer, is this. Are they really taking faith? Are they fully engaged in trust and obedience to Jesus? The key here is to ask, are you really taking faith? If I only need the tiniest bit of faith to tap into God's power, then the key is I need to be absolutely sure that I am exercising that much faith. Again, we have to be honest. A lot of times, God followers think they're trusting God and believing God, but their actions prove that they are not. Last week, Jimmy told a story about Disney World. It's only fair that I get to tell a story about Disney World then. When we go to Disney World, I love to ride all the rides. I enjoy them. I'm still young enough to be a kid and like everything, but there is one ride that I got on 10 years ago. It was called the Tower of Terror. Now, 10 years ago, when I got on the Tower of Terror, it put you in a seat in a row of chairs, and they brought down this ridiculously flimsy lap bar, which didn't do anything. And it was very thin, didn't even have much padding. And then you wind up in the top of this Tower of Terror. They open the doors so that you see that you're up many, many, many stories, and they pull that seat straight down faster than you can fall, so that you come up out of the seat. Well, I flew out of that seat and I grabbed that lap bar as hard as I could, and I just cringed and rolled into a ball and prayed that this ride would end quickly. As they went up and down, up and down, up and down, try to shock you more and more and more. Now, since that day, when we go to Disney World, my family will say, let's ride Tower of Terror. I have not ridden that ride in those last 10 years. And I promise you, I will not ride it till the day I die. Because it won't be on that ride that I die. Instead, when they go into Tower of Terror, I notice that right across the street is a happy little ice cream shop called Scoopers. So I found Scoopers. So you go ride the terrible ride. And I will sit here at Scoopers and eat ice cream. Now, don't get me wrong. I have faith in Disney. I know I surely will not die on the Tower of Terror. But I'm not willing to trust it. And me sitting at Scoopers eating ice cream proves I don't have faith that I'll be okay on that ride. Gang, we need to be absolutely sure we are exercising faith. God says, tithe 10% and he will supply all we need. Are we really taking faith then if we fail to believe that and act as God orders? Or are we sitting at Scoopers? God tells us to have faith through the seasons of pain and the seasons of suffering and seasons of loss. In matter of fact, he tells us to praise him in the midst of that. Are we really taking faith if we grumble and if we doubt and if we judge God through it? God says we will die once and we will stand in front of him. And we will give an account for the life that he entrusted to us, that he told us to invest for his kingdom. And then we will receive a judgment and receive rewards or no rewards for that. Are we taking faith in that? We should know by our actions, or our actions will betray us if we're not. Am I shaking off anxiety and worry and believing that I will make it through these really tough classes that I'm going through? Remember, our actions show our faith. Am I believing it's possible for God to heal my broken relationships and change my heart so that I'm no longer angry, no longer fearful? Or do I really believe change is never going to come? In Mark chapter 9, Jesus' disciples couldn't cast a demon out of a young boy, and Jesus has to do it. They ask him why they themselves couldn't make that mountain move, and Jesus tells them, oh, this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. So obviously they couldn't do it, so obviously they hadn't been praying or fasting. Jesus ties their ability to move mountains to their obedience and the strength of their relationship with God. It's as if Jesus is saying to his disciples, you say you're taking faith, but you weren't faithful in prayer or fasting. Gang, to solve the I'm taking faith, but nothing's happening mystery, we need to first of all question our assurance that we are truly taking faith. Are we truly taking faith if we don't follow God's instructions that we fully understand? Are we truly taking faith if we worry on end when he told us not to? Are we truly taking faith if we hold back forgiveness that Christ has ordered us to extend? All these things God asks us to do while taking faith in him. I know and have faith that I won't die on the Tower of Terror. At least that's what I said. But sitting across the street at Scoopers betrays my words, doesn't it? And it proves I'm not willing to exercise even a mustard seed size of faith. Jesus is saying to his disciples, don't fool yourself. A lot of times you think you're using mustard seed quantity of faith when in actuality your actions betray your words and you show you're not using faith at all. Jesus' own brother put his finger on this very issue in his letter to the church when James wrote, as the body without the spirit is dead, also faith without actions is dead. Gang, the misfire on the front end of this mountain-moving promise is that we have faith. We just need to make sure we are truly using it. But there is a back end to this mystery as well. And the problem is this. Pastor Drew, I have truly taken faith, but I see no mountains moving. Well, let me give you the answer to this one right here. Friend, mountains have moved. They have. I remember praying with a young person just before their graduation from college. They were staring at a mountain of finding a career. We talked a lot and we prayed about it, and I told them, do what God shows you. Give God his tithe, even in your little part-time work. Don't worry, and follow him each step as he leads. Little by little, this person got small jobs, and they did them faithfully. One thing led to another, and years went by. Standing here today, I can tell you that my friend has a $70,000 a year job in the career field that they had always desired. And I look back at that time we spent when they were walking out of college and facing the mountain of uncertainty in a bad job market, and I think of Jesus' promise. I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. I have seen people take faith and pray for loved ones, begging God to change that person's heart, to have them find salvation. Hopeful mustard seed God followers who faced mountains of stubbornness and pride and opposition that looked hopelessly stuck right where they were. But that mustard seed faith, that struggling hope, and that hard-fought optimism in Jesus caused that mountain to move. We see it every year at our baptism. People stand in the water and proclaim to the world, this mountain is standing on new ground. I have seen mountain marriages that I thought weren't even going to last through the end of the counseling session. I've seen them move from hatred through hurt to joy to oneness. I have seen people walk out of hospitals after knocking over the mountain of cancer. I have seen scholarships awarded, debts paid off, relationships restored, brokenness turned to vigor and strength. All mountains that seemed insurmountable. When people tell me they've taken faith and they see no mountains moving, I tell them, I've got a church full of relocated mountains. And if you are ever among us, look out for fallen rocks, because you never know what mountain's coming down next in this place. Do our people have incredible, giant-sized faith? Nope. Just mustard seed faith in a giant God. The fourth and final misfire in this understanding this mystery is this. Okay, Pastor Drew, mountains may be moving, but my mountains aren't moving. We question, why isn't God moving my mountains? I have mustard seed faith. Why isn't God moving my mountains? Well, friend, allow me to say your question here is slightly off track. Your question needs to be, what mountains does God want me to move? Not what mountains do I want to see God move for me? Gang, the best answers are found in asking the right questions. And if we don't see the mountains we want moved budging, it is best to ask ourselves some questions. Questions like, are the mountains that I want moved, are they actually mountains? Or are they challenges that God wants me to climb? God wants me to learn from? Questions like, why do I want these mountains moved? because I don't like the way they make me feel, or because they scare me, or they make me fearful? Questions like, could I learn more and grow closer to God if this mountain stays put and doesn't budge? Is this mountain first and foremost for my benefit, or is it first and foremost for someone else's benefit or God's benefit? And lastly, perhaps the most important question, has God ever asked you to move that mountain? I was talking to a mom once who told me when she was pregnant, it became a possibility that her child might have Down syndrome. So she immediately went into mountain moving mode. She was going to take faith, she was going to pray, and she was going to fast. She was going to have that Down syndrome prayed right out of that preborn baby. Today, that girl, she turned out to have a little girl, is 16 years old. And she has had Down syndrome her entire life. Her mom told me that her precious daughter's Down syndrome was not the mountain that was to be moved. Instead, her daughter has been the mountain mover in her mom's life, her dad's life, her family's life, her friend's life, and her church family's life. You see, gang, moving mountains isn't about ending all of our suffering. It's about living valiantly through it. Moving mountains is not about removing every evil. It's about shining our light brightly in the midst of it. Moving every mountain isn't about us bringing our blueprint in this world. It's about bringing God's plan, God's design, and God's work to fulfillment. I guess the simple answer is this: God chooses the mountains that we are to move with him. So you see, gang, Jesus really hasn't left us a mystery at all. First, we have the faith to move mountains when our faith is in Jesus Christ. You have the faith. It's not your savviness, it's not your strong arming, it's not your nagging. When it comes to faith, we are not have-nots. We are complete in Christ, and he has given us what we need. Number two, the rub, however, comes when we think we're trusting God and we are not trusting God. When we do not do what faith guides us to do. When we neglect our growth. When we are apathetic of the example that we are setting to others. When we fail to take faith and live out the little things God has already shown us. Jesus says, a life lived out in faith, even childlike mustard seed faith, shakes the foundation of mountains and begins dislodging and breaking mountains free from where they have long been planted. Third, do not discount Jesus' statement that mustard seed faith will move mountains. Instead, learn to recognize a moved mountain. Know that they are lives that have been reborn. Know that they are addictions that have been conquered. Know that they are habits that have been broken. They are love that has been shown. They are mercy that has been given, and they are the broken who have been mended, the hopeless and the downcast revitalized. And lastly, the Bible is a story about what God wants to do, not what you want to do. It's a story that God is still writing because he's still in the mountain moving business and he wants you and me to join that team. So as the band comes back and our worship leaders return and our prayer team comes to this side, ask God, what mountains does he want to move? What mountains does God want to move that he may want you to join with him in? Not my will, God, but yours. And ask God first and foremost if there are any mountains in you that he wants to move first. Would you stand as we worship together? Lord, I thank you so much that in your incredible wisdom, you never had a prophet order a mountain to move, and it literally moved. Thank you, Jesus, for not confusing us by telling trees to get up and move, and they moved. But thank you even more so for the miracles we have seen that you have done since the beginning of time. Yeah. Thank you for the miracles we see that you have worked in the lives that we know and the ones that we read about in the past and the ones that you will move in the future. Lord, I pray that you would have each of us understand that we can have faith that does impossible things. We don't need to be fully mature. We just need to trust in a God who is fully mature. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to take what we've learned and apply it now to our lives. Let us trust you in things that scare us. Let us trust you in things that worry us. Let us trust you to fix what's broken. Let us trust you to give us the power to be different than the way we are. And Lord, I do pray that we would continue to see mountains moved as you already have. And Lord, I pray that you would keep us safe as we leave this place and come back together. In Jesus' name, amen.